Hello, I'm Scott Rouse, Senior Brand Manager of Dungeons & Dragons at Wizards of the Coast. You're listening to The Gamer's Haven.
These are...
It's game time.
Quiet, please. I am analyzing.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Is the next step the transplantation of the human brain?
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Stand by for action.
Welcome to the party, pal!
Okay.
Remember, we're not dealing with an intelligence on our own level.
Bring in the logic probe!
Ooh!
End of line.
What are we talking about?
I don't know what we're talking about. But we're back with the Gamer's Haven podcast, and, we tried to sit down a couple weeks ago and record, and we had some minor equipment issues, so...
The microphone blew up on us. It was cool.
Yes.
It released the magic blue smoke.
Really? Wow. I wasn't here for that.
No, the magic blue smoke is what actually makes electronics work, you know, when it gets out.
Really?
The electronics don't work.
Oh, it's all starting to make sense now.
Anybody who's ever fried a circuit knows about the magic blue smoke. It stinks.
Magic blue smoke. But today on the Gamer's Haven podcast, we're just going to sort of... talk about shooting the breeze, yeah, and, you know, I think that can just be about stuff.
I think it's mostly because we have, like, podcaster block.
Well, that and some of us are really, really exhausted and brain dead right now.
Yeah.
So,
some of us are, you know, fighting a cold with a fever and everything else that goes on.
There's that.
Then we have people who have Spanish finals tomorrow. And
well, no, it's not a final. I wish it was a final. Not a final.
No, it's not a
just
final.
A test.
I told you. Just say burrito and taco and...
Enchilada.
Enchilada and Pedro.
So act like those too. Fools from Ecuador.
Right.
Okay.
Remember,
gotcha.
Remember queso.
Queso. Vallo con huevos.
You gotta roll your R's.
R.
Like Vallo con Dios.
Vaya con huevos.
So do we have any, like, interesting emails?
We should
start it that way.
With interesting emails,
right.
So have an entirely random encounter
right.
show.
We're having a random encounter show. We'll talk about whatever.
We're being random and encountering today.
And we'll start with emails.
Yes.
Sure.
Excellent. But we'll be back after this.
Do we have commercials?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We should get advertising.
We do advertise. Right now we're advertising for RPG Now.
Well, yeah.
Because we like RPG Now.
How about like
if you want some good PDF products, go to rpgnow.com, but go there through our website.
Yes.
Well, that's true. But how about, like, Pepsi or Coke or...
We couldn't get an endorsement from
Pepsi.
Yeah. You should email
we sold our souls to Satan.
I'll get someone
or
right
McDonald's.
On that. Anyway, we'll be back.
This podcast is supported by RPG Now, the leading source of indie role-playing games, with over 10,000 RPG titles from over 500 creators and publishers. There are new RPG treasures to discover every day at www.rpgnow.com.
The Vorpal Network. Gamer's Haven proudly present A Thousand Monkeys production of a Monkey Cook Adventure. Tolus, the Knight of Dissolution. An adventure for Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition. Following the threads of a hidden conspiracy, six heroes find themselves up against insane cultists, wild chaos magic, and horrors from the primordial days of the world. Urban intrigue, dungeon exploration, and high action span the grand city of Tolus, a city by the spire. Join these heroes as they explore a former brothel, the laboratory of the dreaded Surgeon in the Shadows, and even secret temples of chaos cults. Can these intrepid adventurers stave off the night of dissolution, a dark time long foretold when the slumbering lords of chaos will awaken in their hidden lairs deep below Tullus, and bring catastrophe to the world?
Yeah. So we're discussing the wonders of the Burger King. Now, for those of you who have seen these commercials on TV, we know how terrifying they are.
Basically, they could set them loose in prisons.
All I know is if I woke up with him in my bed, I'm with Jeremy, I would have to first check to see if I was wearing pants.
And then see if anything hurt.
See if anything hurt. And then after that, I would have to murder him and find a pig farm. So, Burger King is not going to advertise with us. No, I would show them on the dolly where he touched me inappropriately.
And he would pick up a spent plastic thing of ketchup.
Ah!
And he would smile and hold up a sign that says, special sauce.
And Jeremy has gone off the reservation.
Right, do we have emails?
Yeah.
Yes.
Only one?
Well, we have a few, not a lot. We'll start at the bottom. Let's see. Our resident friend Galashi, Galashi 1, said, "Hey there, you mentioned in Wizards College Episode 17, Part 1, that there was no notice in Hunter the Vigil, no notice skill in Hunter the Vigil, and I remember you saying you weren't crazy for the New World of Darkness, so I wanted to help you out. The New World of Darkness core book dubs notice or perception as wits plus composure. I personally would say it's worth getting if you're running a hunter adventure. Wizards College is still great, and Deadlands is also. If you're interested in any indie RPGs, I'd also suggest the Dread RPG. It's an interesting system that relies on Jenga blocks instead of dice. We love dice.
Okay, I have one thing to say. I don't know how he got from Hunter to indie games, but White Wolf is not an independent game publisher.
That's okay. If I wanted to play Hunter, I'd
scoop my eyeballs out.
I play Savage Worlds. Not too horribly crazy here about World of Darkness.
All the new White Wolf books.
I don't have a problem with their new system. I just have a problem with how they butchered the setting. But I've never been a huge White Wolf fan because I've never had really good experiences with White Wolf.
The only good experience I've ever had with White Wolf. Well, I've had two good experiences with White Wolf. The game that Jeremy ran and his own.
Yes.
Which was great fun, although it sucked that the hunter could do absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
They didn't really give you much to play with.
No. Like the werewolves are like tearing people to pieces, and the hunter's like, I do a backflip over the bar and get shot 15 times before I land behind the bar.
I see supernatural things.
See, I really dug werewolves. Werewolves are cool. But in that game, there were two people playing werewolves already.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, well, I'll try a hunter. Okay, this is Hunter the Reckoning. It's sad when the video game based on your role-playing game is better than the role-playing game. That never happens, but in this case, it did. Yes, I mean, I'm not biased because my brother worked on them. But,
come on, that game is awesome.
There were a lot of fun, yes, but just got to say, Hunter, the Reckoning, The original one, those guys were way underpowered.
Sucked. Unless you're only going against one very weak, brand new werewolf.
Well, also in the original World of Darkness, they didn't really those game systems didn't mesh well together. If you had a werewolf running onto the vampire, that was just way not balanced. So I think they really tried in the new edition to balance everything out. And I'm like, no.
You could do a lot of cool things with a vampire with enough charm and a werewolf who had all the brunt strength.
My experience with White Wolf has always been, werewolves are the combat monsters. They are, when you start off, they kick lots of butt and, you know, take lots of names. Vampires start off weak, and the older they get, the nastier they get.
Which makes sense.
And Hunter, you just suck from start to finish.
You just die.
Wraith, you were just depressed all the time.
And you die.
Changeling, you were just crazy. And then you died. Yeah. Mage was awesome. Cool. I really like the magic system from Mage. Was really cool.
You start throwing in the incidental paradox.
Then you start throwing in paradox. Yes. Well, and paradox wasn't so bad, but in the revised edition, they talked about the incidental paradox. Although I don't think that's what it was called. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Paradox should only be used at certain times.
Yeah. And the GM we had running our mage game sort of slapped us down with it all the damn time.
See, that's not fun to be a mage.
Which was dumb. We were in our shard realm. We had a shard realm.
Then you can do whatever the hell you want.
Yes. And I used magic without using a focus and got paradox for it. And I was like, that was lame.
Like, if you're in your house and there's no windows that are open and you decide to use magic.
Yes.
As long as the neighbors aren't peering in.
My argument was always, if reality doesn't want me to do it, I won't do it.
Right.
So. Now,
if you're in the middle of the street and you're not going to explain away your lightning spell, then yeah, you're going to get backlashed. But if you're like, huh, that power line just exploded and electrocuted that guy.
Yes. I mean, there's creative ways of doing things. It's like, do you want to turn this person into a pillar of salt? No.
No.
Because that would be
But I would like
awful.
That truck full of salt to hit him.
Yes.
Spilling salt everywhere.
But I was a virtual adept course.
Get the newest releases at RPG Now. Only at RPG Now can you get the absolute latest and best releases from fantastic publishers like Palladium Books and White Wolf Publishing. There are new products every single day. Come to RPGNow.com and get them the instant they're available.
Gamers Haven and the Vorpal Network, in association with Pinnacle Entertainment Group, present. A Thousand Monkeys Production.
Deadlands. Enough room to die.
An actual play recording of Deadlands Reloaded. Available for download at www.CanadianCrusaders.com.
This is the Vorpal Network.
All right. Well, we have decided to say screw it to the lovely microphones and whatnot, so we apologize for the sound quality on this, but that's okay. We're going ghetto on this, you know.
We don't really have a lot of money to replace equipment, so if it dies,
I think our soundboard is dying.
Yeah, it seems that our soundboard
is old. It's gone around the block a few times.
Go ahead and move that cat off the table. Just set it in the middle.
The frozen cat?
It's not frozen. It's a paper cat.
So we're using our lovely digital voice recorder that we record our games with. So,
you're all familiar with the way it sounds. You listen to it.
Well, if you're not, you should listen to our stuff. So anyway, that was our brief sort of diatribe on the World of Darkness. Although the World of Darkness I got to play for Mage was modified to use just a D20 rather than dice pools.
Well, I agree with Jeremy's face.
It actually isn't too bad to do that with what you do. I mean, since everything is based on already, you know, you have five dots max on things, that sort of thing. So it's just sort of like D20 plus, you know, however many dots you got.
I know, but part
it,
of
it worked
fun
okay,
of Mage,
but you know,
part of the fun of Mage is
plus picking up that many dice and going
taking 900 d6, 900 d10s, and throwing them. Well, okay, it was really only up to about 10 or 15 d10. But
about 15 was the highest I'd ever seen.
Yes, it wasn't like Star Wars.
Hey,
d6s.
35 d6 for my piloting check.
I am really tempted to pick up some of the d6 stuff.
The D6 Star Wars stuff?
Not even that necessarily, but just the from West End Games. Just some like of the random fantasy stuff. D6, I don't know about so. Fantasy. I've got enough. But maybe they're their non-Star Wars sci-fi stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of those, just because it may be amusing.
Right.
Depending on the price.
I'd actually love to get my hands on the Chill role-playing game.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard awesome things about it, and every time I've been to Gen Con, the people are like, oh yeah, we have it, and they go looking through their stock and go, oh, we don't have it. And I have a friend...
It's cropped up before, I think, because we did spot some copies, like, at the Gen Con auction, but people wanted way too much for them.
We picked up a copy of Chill Companion for cheap, for 15 bucks.
No, we saw, like, the core books in
It was $135 for the three core books, and we went, no frickin' way.
Let me think about... No.
I don't know what the Chill is.
It's called Chill. What it is a supernatural role-playing game, kind of like in the vein of Call of Cthulhu, only more pulpy, from what I understand. I have not ever had a chance to play it. I remember seeing it when I was a kid, but that was before Mayfair Games got sued by Wizards of the Coast and lost their ability to actually publish any role-playing games. And to this day, they don't make any role-playing games. It really sucks, because someone needs to purchase the rights to Chill and re-release it. Because apparently the system was very well done ahead of its time.
Mayfair also put out an RPG called Underground, which was actually a very entertaining game. Very entertaining cyberpunk game.
Well, the World of Darkness, I mean, if you keep it like a myth, if their background stuff is mythology, and then...
Instead of canon?
Because really, I hated... how the vampires were totally screwed if the older vampires woke up.
Yes.
I hated how the werewolves were
doomed.
Totally doomed. And I hated
The werewolves were just fatalistic. It was we are going to die. This is a losing battle. This sucks.
At least the mages could escape at some point.
I like to say that, you know, in the World of Darkness mythology, is you had werewolves were like, I'm going to,
fight the weaver until I die.
Well, no, fight the worm until I die. Fight the worm until I die. The vampires were going to play our little games until Cain wakes up, and then we'll all die. Then Mage was, I'm leaving this dimension. Bye.
Right. And
Ascension War. I don't care. I have my own dimension now.
Whenever I played a vampire in that, I always thought to myself, first of all, your little political games are fine. I guess they're needed, but I hate them. And two, let's not let Cain wake up. If anybody wants to wake up Cain, you kill them.
Anybody who thinks about
waking up Cain, you kill them. Because being a vampire, you know, you just want to be left alone. That was my thing. I want to be left alone. Which made for amusing games, but...
That's true.
The one thing I always hated about vampire games is all the vampire games I played in, you always had one of the other players in the group who was trying to systematically either control everybody else in the group or try to kill everybody else off in the group.
Yeah.
And because of that, it really colored my perceptions of vampire games to be, they suck.
Yeah, but that's
World of Darkness games were fun when you like threw everything in, because you saw the way the various different things interacted, and it was always funny to watch a vampire like, I'm a 10th generation vampire. It's like, that's fine. I'm a werewolf. You're dead.
Yeah, but even... I always got irritated by people who would be like, well, this vampire's really, really old, so there's no chance of stopping it. You know, as another vampire, there's no chance of feeding on it. Bullshit!
If it's there
and you get enough stuff and you screw it over enough, then you feed off of it and you take its power.
That's right. How are you supposed to grow in generations and get older if you can't eat other vampires?
And with werewolf, I was like, why be fatalistic?
Let's just kill everything.
I mean, if something runs into you that's not right, you werewolf out, and you kill it. And then you just change back. Because everybody's going to think it's an escaped circus bear anyway. Always.
We love escaped Russian circus bears.
Yeah, that's my never going to attack you.
You're a werewolf.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy's punching me. I'm going to, I don't know, slap him. Okay, he's unconscious.
He's dead.
I'm gonna breathe on him. Oh, he's unconscious.
You broke his neck with your.
I'm gonna look at him. Oh, he's unconscious. Though a low level mage game can be fun too.
Yeah.
Because at least at low level for mage, normal people can hurt you, so they can be a threat. But you can do funny things to them.
especially a mind mage who at some point can unweave people's souls. That's hilarious.
What was that?
You don't need a soul.
Was it the life mage you were playing that just like melted people's insides?
Yeah, that was something the man body or some such. Yeah. Andrew's character though was a mind mage, and at one point, yes, he could actually unweave people's souls from their bodies.
I thought it was funny. No one could remember who he was. It's like,
well, that was part of his power. Yeah, he would walk around, and people would be like, "Where was that guy?" And so Paradox didn't occur.
Because no one could remember him.
One, they couldn't remember him, and two, his powers were all in people's heads. So, really, the people just thought the other people were crazy. Be like, well, I did this because somebody's in my head. And so you're hearing voices.
Right, we need to take you to the...
And the people that had their souls unweaved, they're not talking.
They just fell over dead.
This is like, whatever. Anyway, I don't know about the new one. I just kind of avoid it.
I avoid it on general principle.
If I want werewolves, I can do werewolves. And I did like...
You can do werewolves and savage werewolves.
Well, the one thing I liked about the vampires and the werewolves was the ability to basically build what you wanted. That is nice. And that's something that they don't have in a lot of other games. Mm-hmm. Even Savage Worlds, you don't have, like, you can't build a werewolf. You can't build a vampire.
I'm sure you can. I'm sure there's rules out there somewhere for it.
For NPCs, but for a appropriately
balanced
PC, I don't think so. It would take a long time. And I just don't have the patience.
I don't blame you. I don't have the patience either.
That's okay.
I tried to set up a prestige class in Hero Lab for 3.5 D&D, and I gave up after I got to when I was trying to do the prerequisites because I couldn't put in a base attack bonus of +4 without 14 lines of code. And I went... No, it shouldn't take that much to put in. If base attack
that
is less than...
all about letting other people do the work on it.
Yeah. This is what you need. It's a simple script. If base attack, BAB, is less than 4, then class equals 0, which means that class is not available. That's all you need. It's binary, for Christ's sake. But they're like, you have to put this, and you have to put this line of code. It's like, they showed me an example, and it was like 14 lines of code, and I went, what the hell? What is this? This needs like 4 things.
So what's our next email?
We got another email from Galeci. Said, just noting that at least one listener would like to see Thunderspire Labyrinth and other modules in the future, and I'm happy to hear a new Keep on the Shadowfell recording is in the planning. Finally caught up on Deadlands and Wizards College, and I'm looking for more interesting play sessions to listen to as I travel. Keep up the great podcasts.
Wow.
Keep on the Shadowfell will be the new, or Keep on the Shadowfell Redux will be starting up within the next month or two.
It'll be starting up in November.
Mid-November, roughly, because we're not meeting next Saturday
because
of Halloween,
31st.
And so, yeah, another 2 weeks, so mid-November.
It'll be November
13th, 14th,
month.
And as far as Thunderspire Labyrinth, that's probably more in the Sunday crew. That may happen in the future. Right now, we're dealing with Tallis and getting the Tallis game all sorted out. So.
Hard enough to meet for that sometimes.
Yes, and we're also getting close to the holiday season, which, as everybody knows, the holiday season, you know, plays havoc with all
kills,
kinds of gaming
kills all games.
Schedules. Yeah.
Oh, something on the holiday schedule real quick. Something I'm thinking about doing is doing a Run for Your Life Candyman. But I have to get together to make all the gingerbread people first. Like actual cookies. So that way, when we play like an evening of Run for Your Life Candyman, you can actually eat your character.
Ah, or other people can eat your character.
Or other people, whatever. So I gotta find a big cookie, you know, gingerman cookie mold. And try to do that one evening, one Saturday.
Alrighty.
And we need actual gingerbread cookies for our characters so we can, like, break off their arms and legs.
That's what he's talking about.
That's what I want to do. Because the paper ones are okay.
I did just, I picked up Primal Power today, and I also picked up the expansion for Touch of Evil came out. So, Something Wicked, which has...
Something Wicked.
4 new villains, 4 new heroes, and some more cards, and a second board.
Cool.
So it's quickly if they put out another one like that, it'll quickly become like, you know, Arkham Horror.
But on a side note, that same company, Flying Frog, has officially announced their next game. They haven't said anything official about it, but if you look, it's there.
Uh-huh.
They're making a Invasion from Outer Space game.
Awesome.
Set sort of in the vein of 50s sci-fi.
So it's going to be like, hell is that game?
It's like Invaders from Mars and stuff like that. All that's on their site now, if you go to flyingfrog.net and look in their online store, there's a third category now, aside from, Last Night on Earth and Touch of Evil, there's Invaders from Outer Space. It's just a t-shirt right now. But I'm hoping that that's going to be their Gen Con game next year. So
that'll be awesome.
Be sweet. They've impressed me thus far with all of this.
Oh, stuff, yeah. So. All the products are good. Last Night on Earth is fucking hard.
Uh-huh.
But
fun.
It's fun. It's very, very, very hard to win if you're not the zombies in Last Night on Earth. But it can be done. And A Touch of Evil is just freaking awesome. I mean, we fought, what was his name? We fought the Headless Horseman. How cool is that? The Headless Horseman. Badass. Kicked the crap out of us, too. Killed one of the players.
Uh-huh. And it's the Spectral Horseman, technically. Oh,
sorry.
It's okay. They can't use Headless Horseman?
No, that's copyrighted.
I really like the Flux Martian.
Martian Flux?
Martian Flux
is a lot of fun.
It was simple, but it was fun.
Uh-huh. Well, we were
I found my favorite shirt. I'm going to have to get it. It's from Nerd Rockstar. It has this design, a nice graphic design on the front, and it says, "Can I talk to you about Cthulhu?"
It reminds me, new product just came out is Savage Worlds Cthulhu book.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Oh. They had it up at Tabletop.
That's cool.
I think it's like $35.
Yes. I didn't look at it that closely, mind you. I was already spending $60, so I was like, not looking, buying this and leaving.
I really like the Monster Apocalypse that you got for Monsters Ravage America.
The Monsters Menace America. The new minis for it.
Yeah, I'm going to... Not the new minis, the ones you picked up for...
The Monster Apocalypse.
Monster Apocalypse.
I mean,
it's irritating that's a collectible, but now I have to get a few of those.
Go to miniaturemarket.com, you can buy a bunch.
What I think is awesome is they actually have collector's editions of those Monster Apocalypse coming out that are the Toho monsters.
Mm-hmm.
They're actual sets. They're not random.
See,
they're actual sets of these monsters. Because I'm going to have to get Godzilla.
Oh, yeah.
And
and Mothra.
I thought it was Radon.
It is Radon. Radon.
I think that's the original name. So we'll get Anguirus.
Yes, Anguirus.
I still can't bring myself to really pick up very many. Or actually, I haven't picked up any of the new monster, D&D monster packs.
The new one's coming out next month.
Yeah.
The big ones are awesome. I have the Baylor and I have
the little hand-sized ones.
Into that with them is some of them just look like they were painted by a retarded 4-year-old with the Tourette's.
I was thinking more along the lines of an epileptic senile 80-year-old with a paintbrush. That's
or, column A,
14.
Column B, really. And then some of them are just really, really well done.
Yeah, the big ones seem to be well done. It's like that. Oh, we have more space to paint, so we can be more detailed. But the little ones are like, just throw on paint on there.
I've looked at Mega Miniatures. I keep going back to those because they have packs that are fairly priced of massive things. You know, like tons of stuff, like King's Guards or dwarves or whatever,
or winches.
Yeah. And it's just like,
or I think it's just townsfolk, but there are winches.
Townsfolk, they have whole sets of townsfolk.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. And if Warhammer hadn't raised their prices, I would still say they were the way to go for mass. Because I still need orcs. I do not have a lot of orcs. I just can't bring myself to buy their orcs. So
yeah,
but Mega Minis, huh?
Mega Minis is funny. They have some funny, funny things.
Oh, yeah.
This is the Mega Miniatures place, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, their main site is on eBay.
Yeah.
Dude, they got all sorts of animals.
Yeah. I was looking for monkeys.
Click the eBay.
Powder part. Monkeys for Scott. Actually, I found a powder monkey, and I sent him the link. It was only that much.
Dude, you can get five dolphin animals $8. Or you can get a lobster, an ocean. You can get
Now, at the same time, that other site... the one out of Texas in Great Britain is still pretty
cool. Oh, the Black Tree Design.
Black Tree Design,
I bet they'll do a sale for... they'll probably do a winter sale, too.
Yeah, I need to get some more of the Doctor Who minis, because the two Doctor Who minis that I bought were really good. I just haven't got around to painting them.
Yeah.
But they are really awesome.
Well, at this
awesome.
Point, I've been... I don't know. There's too many different things that I would like to get. I just... For, like, monsters, the monsters from D&D, I still am not happy that they're still...
Semi-randomized,
yeah. I want an orc set, or I want
I want a bag of orcs.
Bag of
kobold, bag of goblins. We're not alone in this.
No, I'm sure
really
we get,
irritates
the past,
hell out of me. That we
well,
just have to
not,
buy them individually.
That's not bad. 20 orcs, 25 millimeter for $25.
Right.
That's not bad.
No, they're not. And you can usually find them on sale, too.
Oh, actually, they don't look too bad either.
No. None of their molds are really that bad. They're just fairly cheap.
Yes.
Like, if you look at the hirelings, you're kind of
whoa!
But you're like, whatever. I mean...
The villagers look pretty bad, too.
Yeah, but so what? They're just villagers.
They're based off the old Grenadier models.
Yeah, they're all old.
A lot of these molds are probably crap. You're really old. Grenadier ran out of business back
in the
early 90s.
They're not that bad. Just looking at them for like, and same with the other side there too. So,
The Black Tree Design miniatures are actually fairly well done.
Some of their big monsters are funny though, because you're like, yeah, some guy just with clay like stuck that together and made a mold. Oh well.
Yeah, we'll sell for $20.
It'll sell for $10.
I mean, it's fine. So, well, do we have any other emails?
Yes,
we do.
I got an email from our resident curmudgeon, David Griffin.
Is he grumpy?
He's always grumpy.
Is he the one that hates you?
Yes, he's the one that hates me.
All right.
He says, in the latest podcast, he's also the one that has an early iPod and is always having problems. The latest podcast, latest Wizard College Totals Evolved and Snippets. The snippets on the iPhone and the iPod Touch make the other podcasts invisible. Delete
That's
the snippets,
awesome.
The Wizard College podcast pop up. I'm hoping once
spell.
I listen to those, I'll get these Totals episodes to pop up. I'm guessing you don't intend for this to happen.
No,
we don't. And I'm sorry, David. You're the only one that has been saying this stuff. So.
No, I think you did it on purpose.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing it on purpose.
Because, you know, we actually freaking hate the iPod.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
But, you know,
totally.
We can't afford it, so we want to make sure that nothing ever works on it right. No, we have no control over how our podcasts actually affect your Apple hardware. The problem is there's something obviously wrong with the way that the iTunes and the iPhone and the iPod Touch
don't know what's going on
interfacing with the file. You need to contact Apple. They are the software proprietor. They will help you fix this. We have no control over it.
Anyway, he also, more to the point, said, listen to your latest Deadlands episode, and I thought the beating of John in the cell while he was helpless was over the top and thought it might tend to rob both the player and the character of enthusiasm and initiative.
I thought it was pretty funny.
The message it sends is, you're helpless, so just do what I say and don't try to chart your own course. Most players would probably have gotten a little angry over such treatment, but your players have seen much worse, so perhaps it doesn't bother them. At least... At the least, it can't have been fun for anyone.
He should really see what we're wearing during these games. You know, the leather and the chains.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean...
You know,
let Jeremy talk when I take the ball gag out of the
I have the whole gimp mask that I have to wear, you know.
Gimp mask.
They keep me in the cellar underneath the table.
Yes, yes.
And we hook a killer in the basement.
Yeah. I thought I was pretty lenient on the whole beating the crap out of it.
All I have to say is
it could have gone differently.
Yes, it could
have. If I would have done better with some rolls.
It was stacked against you, yes. But
oh, that's the whole point.
I'll also point out that I did allow people to spend bennies. I gave them the option of spending bennies for you to on your healing check. So.
I'm not really sore about it because...
And it made sense. It made sense in the context of the game. So.
Now, the thing that if it would have gone differently, they would have been
like, I wasn't going to kill you.
Yeah. So I'm not too worried about it.
But, you know, how many spaghetti westerns have you seen where the hero gets the absolute crap beat out of him and then comes back later?
Yes,
every
it just means the
one.
It means the marshal is just...
It means the marshal and the deputies will be very sad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I have a
very sad with
spend.
Very sad with multiple bullet holes.
And I could add a, I could add an extra bonus to stuff and shoot a lot more people. I've got it figured out, too.
Yeah, pray tell.
Quickness is a great prayer.
Uh-huh.
And if she rolls a raise,
uh-huh,
with my three draws,
uh-huh,
I'd get to keep two of those.
Uh-huh.
And if she rolls a raise on it, anything that's eight or less gets tossed out.
Uh-huh.
I could kill a lot of people in that.
Oh, yeah.
Quickly. I have a lot of bullets.
Uh-huh.
And will reload.
You guys
were... last time I checked, we were really running low on
no, we
bullet.
Found more.
Oh, yeah, you guys looted some corpses and got some more.
Oh, thank God.
You're not, swimming in bullets yet.
No, we're not swimming. But we will be if...
we don't have a wagon full of bullets for guns. We don't have to reach into the wagon and be like...
If you had a wagon full of bullets, I'd probably throw a stick of dynamite in it anyway. I'm a jackass that way.
Then we'd have to strangle you.
Be like, what?
That's why I've reached the point where I don't carry all my bullets. Some of them stay back at the hotel.
And then the hotel burns.
Yeah. But then some of them...
Oh, wait, no, that's happening this weekend.
Okay, I gotta save my bullets. Oh yeah, I gotta save.
It's like
guy.
I have a premonition that I need to carry all my bullets with me.
He's got dynamite. Pop! Now he's dead. He's gonna blow up over there.
So really, you're just teaching us to shoot everybody.
Yeah.
Well, I found it amusing in the last Deadland session. Eric started writing a list of people that they were going to deal with.
That bad, huh?
Yes, the deputies are on the list. In fact, Eric showed me the deputies are listed separately on the list as deputy number one, deputy number two, deputy number three, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. There's only one deputy I might not shoot.
And he was the deputy. Eric said, that's probably not going to work.
if he gets in the way...
We'll see what happens.
Well, I am kind of offended, though, that what's his name there? Grumpy... whatever his name is.
Dave.
Thinks that we're so, like, browbeaten that we just, like,
that, yes,
accepted...
I've sucked out your will to live and browbeaten you all into submission.
It's still called Deadlands.
Yes, I do find it kind of amusing.
And while I don't want him to die...
It's probably going to happen.
We're either going to win or we're not going to win.
And
it's
not-
a pretty much either or...
And in the event of not winning, we're more than likely going to die horribly.
And there's always the backup of Abaddon. I just assume I'm going to wake up and be like, son of a bitch.
I'm on the damn train again.
Huh.
Why is there an Aztec death god?
Dressed like a sheriff. Hey, need a deputy?
And that's how the campaign ends.
Purgatory got a lot more interesting.
No, I do always point out to Eric that Dave, you're still listening, so
must like it.
Yeah. all right. Nathan sent me an email he received from Kenneth Pham, who said, "Hello, Nathan. I just stumbled upon an actual gameplay podcast that you produced, The Lost Tales of Ashiram."
Actually, technically, let's clear that up real quick. I didn't produce it. I just ran it. Ethan actually produces all the podcasts. Ethan has the website administration, and he has the tools.
I do all the producer stuff, whatever that might be.
Yeah.
He says, "I quite like it for the genuine fun you all seem to be having, and your game mastering style. You seem to be well-versed in this game world, well-prepared for the campaign, and the eloquence on moving the story along. Of course, the other players are also crucial to the podcast and are quite entertaining to listen to. Ethan is a hoot, and the girl players definitely add to the role-playing elements from a casual player perspective. Overall, I would say this game podcast would be rated as my favorite, which begs the next question, what happened to the campaign? Did your life schedule change so much that you can't find time to continue? Also, is there a blog that you keep regarding other games you might be having, particularly with the same group of players? I must admit, I really liked the group chemistry that was on the podcast. Anyway, thanks for a good podcast, and I dearly hope this campaign did not end unfinished. Yours truly, Kenneth Fang."
Okay, let's start at the top. First thing he asked about was, the first thing he stated was that I seem to know the world quite well, and I seem very well prepared for the game.
Uh-huh.
Okay. First things first. I should know the world. I created it. And I have copious notes written down and, like, 15 different art books.
Yes, on various cocktail napkins in between his vomiting pouts.
Yes.
When he's drunk.
Yeah, when I drink. And second, I was not actually prepared for those games. Those games were casual games. They were thrown because one of the players, I can't remember her character, Solana Lolita, the character name.
Becca's sister.
Yes, her name's Rachel. Had never played before and had wanted to play a D&D game. Because she'd always seen us play it, and she'd get bored just sitting here watching. So she wanted to play. So I had her make up a character, and I had Ethan make up a character because I knew Ethan. You know, Ethan's run games and end games, and has run games for many years now. So he's well versed in how to run in a game. So I had a veteran player, and then I had a player for comfort status, which would be my wife Becca, which is Rachel's sister. That would give her someone that she identified with easily. That would actually give her a level of comfort while she's actually gaming. So the group, the triumvirate, as it was in the beginning, was just one player that I knew could run with the game no matter where it went, one player for comfort, and one player who had never played before.
Mm-hmm.
So the atmosphere is much more casual than like when we all play in a game under Ethan, or we all play in a game under Andre, or when we play in a game underneath Jeremy. Because everybody who plays in those games are well-versed, probably most of them much better than I am, veteran-style players. And they've been doing it for years.
And I don't like newbies, so...
Yeah.
Yes, Jeremy likes to chew on newbies and spit them out.
Yeah, but the whole being well-versed in how the game was running, actually, that all that stuff, that was all improvised. The whole two sessions were completely improvised. There was not an ounce of planning.
This is the sound of Nathan fluffing his own ego.
No. I just...
Totally. Oh, yeah.
Well,
uh-huh.
Okay, we'll take it as
yep. You know you're totally fluffing.
Oh, yeah, totally fluffing.
No, I just...
You're a fluffer.
Uh-huh. Yep. I didn't have time to plan for them, so...
I totally fluff.
Yeah,
what can I say? No, Jeremy, you...
Fluff boy!
Jeremy, you toss off sailors.
I toss off sailors, yes.
Yeah. But, no, there wasn't any planning.
I'm a sadist.
Yeah, you're a sadist. I toss off sailors.
And I'm a fluffer.
You're a fluffer. So,
yeah.
There you go.
But, no, I didn't plan for it because I didn't have time to. But...
Semen.
yeah, you're sick,
Hammer. Yeah.
Yeah. We're like, you know.
You're going to timeout now.
Yeah, timeout.
Timeout.
Yeah. But now, with a casual game.
What? They're on the sea and they're men. Some of them are women, so would they be sea women?
Yes.
Sure.
Now the Navy hates us.
I think the Navy hated us in the first place for the whole
process. I like the Navy.
We could ask James. He was in the Navy.
Sure.
He was.
He drove a nuclear submarine.
That's...
Which terrifies me. Anyway.
But no, there wasn't a whole lot of planning that needed to be done. I mean, with a casual person who's never played before, it's very simple. Story of monsters in cave guarding magic treasure. Characters want magic treasure because they can make money off of it. Characters go into cave, fight monsters... Get the treasure or get killed.
Hit with mallet as needed.
Yeah. Improvise where necessary.
The players, not the characters.
There was no need for planning for it. It was just, this is how it goes. Okay. The next thing he talked about was...
What happened to the campaign?
The campaign was never supposed to be an extended duration campaign.
Technically, the campaign is still going.
Yeah. Technically.
Just we haven't played it since June.
June, yeah. it's a casual game, which means that it's only played when everything else falls through. Right now, Ethan... and Rachel are both doing ungodly amounts of schoolwork. Rachel is taking like 15 or 16 credit hours of school and working.
I'm only taking 12 credit hours, but it still sucks.
Yeah. So, no, there probably will not be a game for a long while. Now, when she gets everything rolled out and gets back into a situation where she can do it, she has expressed that she would like to play again. So we'll try to get everybody back together again. Well, one of the players, the one that played in the second game session that wasn't in the first one, I don't think that she will be joining us anymore. But that's there's reasons behind that, which I'm not getting into. So, no, the game hasn't ended. I have no idea when the next one's going to be. Thank you for your comments.
It's really more of a pickup game, you know, when we can.
Thank you for the comments, but it's actually the whole game runs down to the players, because if the players weren't playing the way that they play, I would have just sat there and been like, well, you're walking.
There's a monster.
And there's his last one is there a blog that you keep regarding other games you might be having?
No, but if you actually look in the Gamer's Haven, we have different podcasts of all the other games that are being run by this group.
I'm not sure how you found our stuff. It might have been through iTunes, but if you just hit CanadianCrusaders.com and click on the actual play link on the sidebar, which is on the left-hand side of the screen. That will take you to the depository of all of our stuff. Or if you're in iTunes...
depository?
Just, whatever.
Suppository.
The suppository, yeah. Woo! Or if you want, just go into iTunes and search the iTunes store for Gamers Haven, and that'll pop all our stuff up.
Yep. So, we have actual play, we have feed, mm-hmm. promos, links.
But we have, for ease sake, we do actually have... there are separate feeds for each of the campaigns, plus there's a main feed with with all of the actual play stuff. So
remember,
you just
want to
get everything... Yeah, yes, well, that, yeah, not edited, not safe for...
Yeah, these things not are safe, definitely
not
safe for
kids. Safe for kids, yes. Because we have putty mouths, as can be evidenced of our most recent discussion. All right. And last email I have on here is an email from Mr. Griffin again. Said, and he's talking about the finale to Wizards College. Says, great game, and with great challenges, and what sounded like a lot of fun. Not too many loose ends either, though I had a little trouble understanding what happened to your arch nemesis after he teleported out, or what happened to the Lord of the Lord of Thieves' child. I hope to hear more in the future.
Well, that campaign technically, where is it's ended.
That chapter has ended. We should say, Andre, we ran that for about a year and a half, and
he plans on running it again.
Mm-hmm. We plan on getting back to it, but probably not in the near future.
No, it'll probably be a while. Because I'm going to be running my
I'm going to run Keep on the Shadowfell for that crew, and then Nathan is going to get his game going.
Yeah,
which we'll have to get together and get a do a recap thing for podcast listeners, because that campaign was never podcast. So
yeah, probably Thoth will become kind of a pickup game for a little while. That's probably what's going to occur.
That's understandable.
I think I'm probably just going to email and say, hey, people can show up. And just do that for a while.
And if it comes to that, one thing that we might be able to do to help bash out my final book is, if everybody has the ability to, we can run weekly for a little while, like in the summer, on my game. Mm-hmm. Because I'm estimating, and I know this is just an estimate, but it's probably going to take anywhere from about 15 to 20 more game sessions before that story is completely done. And when that happens, mm-hmm. There'll be massive changes. No, you guys won't be epic level characters. I've never run an epic level game. It just seems kind of hokey.
And I can take on a god. Anyway.
Not all epic can take on god.
But what I'm planning on doing is, if 4th Ed runs well, if I like the way 4th Ed runs, is what's going to happen is, by the end of my third book for my D&D 3.5 games, mm-hmm. I will get to the point where it will actually introduce how the 4th Ed races and stuff come into with my world. And which means that I have to revamp all of my races, because I have several races which overlap the races that are in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that. And get all that stuff taken care of, and then go from there. But yeah, everything will have to be redone, because there's no more negative stat additions and forth that. Everything's bonuses.
I'm happy about that, though.
Yep.
Makes it easier to make a character. That's what
now, I think what he's talking about with our arch nemesis after he teleported out was Male, and he was in the city, and
we kicked the crap out of him.
And the devil came and took him away.
Yeah, he made a contract deal.
I think that's who he's talking about.
Yeah, Male is my arch nemesis.
Yes, the other guy that teleported out was the Chaos Mage guy, and he went to protect...
Aruk,
yeah. He went to protect Nathan's character's wife and mother from the adventurers.
And he got rescued by the dragon.
We swept up his ashes, and...
We're going to resurrect him.
We're going to work on resurrecting him whenever we get back to that game.
Yeah, he got fried by the dragon.
And the Lord of Thieves' child is presumably still within...
Yep.
Nathan's character's mother.
Yep. As you said at the end of the game.
So that's stuff that will be dealt with, I'm sure, in the next leg of that campaign.
Yeah.
So.
As he stated in the end of the game session, as we came in to investigate, was that, yes, my character's mother and my character's wife were mm-hmm. both perfectly fine. They were both okay. So that means that my character's mother is still pregnant with the King of Thieves' child, and my character's wife is still pregnant with his child. So... I'm sure by the time we get to the next game, there will be time that has passed, so those two will be children. Actually, there will actually be children there instead of just pregnant people.
Mm-hmm. Instead of just pregnant people, yes.
Yeah, instead of pregnant NPCs, there will actually be, children, which will be fun. We'll see how it goes.
Yes, yeah, 3.Andre was a lot of fun, so I enjoyed the heck out of it.
Yeah, I'm sure the next one will be called, like, you
and,
know,
and I'm when we get back to it, I'm still going to do the bad British accent. So
yes.
People can just deal with that.
And well, we're gonna, still going to call it Lake White Castle.
I got a complaint that I was using a bad British accent.
I know, I was here.
Well, Chad, we all do terrible British
accents.
He's going
to use a terrible British accent. Because I can!
Wasn't it that they couldn't figure out if it was British or French or something?
I think they called it French, and we're like, that wasn't French.
French is snottier.
Oh, yeah.
No, France much is more like sweeties. This. Uh-huh.
Much
but,
more.
But
much
don't sweet. Say that anywhere around Celine, because she'll get pissed. Cause
that's true. That's true.
She actually speaks French fluently, so
stupid
fluent.
French.
That's Canadian French.
Yeah, that, but
that's
still
not,
fluent
that's
French.
That's not real French.
It's but Canadian French. It's Canadian French.
It's true. It's moose French.
There's more beer involved.
Moose French.
Moose French.
More A's involved.
Yes, exactly.
A,
moose and beer and hockey.
She is so going to kick the ever-loving crap out of us next time she talks to us.
Oh, yeah, totally. That's okay. She probably won't get to listen to this episode for several months. So,
yeah.
She's got other stuff going on.
Well,
so, you know, we have a reprieve.
So we can make fun of the normal French all we want.
Well, remember, we're not making fun of the French. We're making fun of Ecuador now.
I know.
Now, those crazy Ecuadorians.
Yeah. The what French have they done for us them. Recently? Yeah. Nothing. That's right. Nothing.
Yeah, they only make, like, our TVs and crap down there.
Thought those
Shut
were
up.
Those come from China.
No, actually, General Electric, all the GE TVs come from Ecuador and Mexico. Look on the back of your TV. Hecho, it says Hecho and Mexico. Anyways, next
email. So,
is there
another email?
No, it's no more emails. That's it.
No more emails?
Yeah.
Damn, we have run out of random crap.
Random crap to talk about. Well, we could talk about more crap, but, you know.
But, yeah. I role-playing game-wise... Aside from the games that we've been playing lately, I haven't really done much of anything. I saw that cool Surface demo with the D&D Surface.
Yeah, that was
that
pretty
That is freaking awesome.
That was pretty sweet.
Too bad we don't have $15,000 for that
yeah.
table.
So, that, send money, too.
Yeah. No. If Microsoft is listening in on this and wants to actually donate a version of the table to us, yeah,
he
great.
He said, no, if they want to send $15,000, they can send $15,000 to donate,
yeah.
And we'll buy a freaking table.
Yeah, we'll buy a freaking...
We'll
incorporate so that we're a company and
here.
We'll buy a Surface table, because they are really incredibly cool, and I can think of all different sorts of crazy, whacked-out, wiggity things that we would do with the thing. That's all a microphone is.
Yes, I know.
But, yeah. That looks really cool. I rented a game called Borderlands, which I guess is a first-person RPG shooter. So I'm going to find out what that's like. I just finished playing Uncharted 2 Among Thieves, and everyone's talking about how incredibly gorgeous and beautiful it is. And yeah, it's pretty, but I was constantly distracted by the fact that everything was jagged. There's no... They're using 100% of the PS3's power, and there was no anti-aliasing on my PS3, which doesn't make any sense to me.
It's PS3. It sucks.
No, the PS3 is a good machine. It's supposed to be like twice as powerful as the Xbox 360, yet the graphics look better.
All
on
in favor of the PS3 sucking ass? Raise your hand. Okay, the motion is passed.
Yeah. It sucks that people spent an arm and a leg on this thing, and they're talking about how awesome it is, and it's still lagging. The game itself, Uncharted 2, great game. Irritating as hell, but great game. Very cinematic.
Like, what is it called?
So when are they going to put out the PS3 version of Irritating Stick? That's my question.
It's already out. It's called Lair. Where you have to fly the dragon by tilting the controller. There is no analog joystick control. Lair. I think they actually finally patched that. But, yeah, when it first came out, you had to fly the dragon. Like,
did they patch it with a hammer?
Maybe.
Possibly.
But the thing was, it's like, half the time you were flying the dragon, it's like, I need to turn quick. You end up with the controller like this, trying to get the thing to turn. It's like, I fly like a bus. It did!
Well,
the
bigger
so...
dragons are clumsy flyers.
Uh-huh.
That makes sense.
Wow, Jeremy, you just really made yourself a dork there.
I
don't care.
Okay. Yeah.
They are clumsy flyers.
The flying was so...
This is a gamer's haven, after
That's
all.
True.
The flying was so pathetic, I found myself landing and running through the crowds of people on the ground because it was easier to control because you actually got to use the joysticks.
Sweet!
Yeah, that's annoying stick for the PS3.
Irritating stick.
Irritating stick, yeah.
Yes. For those of you who don't know what irritating stick is... Google it.
Yeah.
It's a real game.
It's the worst game that has ever been created.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
You have a stick.
And it's irritating.
And it buzzes at you. And you run through a maze. That's irritating it. Stick. Make your own levels.
The only game that's worse than that game is probably E.T.
Yeah.
I don't know, the Smurf game.
I don't remember the Smurf game.
You jumped over tufts of grass, and if you tripped on the grass, you died.
What was it for? Is it
like Atari? Shadowgate, you turn left,
something
you die.
Something like that, yeah.
Well, I turn left, you die.
But the E.T. game was pretty bad, too.
Well, the funny thing about the Shadowgate game was, like, and you're walking down, oh, your torch turns out, and you trip over something, and you die.
Wow.
It's like okay, I want to take that torch. Oh, you pull the torch out, and the trap door opens up underneath, you fall, and you die.
Alrighty then.
Yeah, you could die like 9 million ways. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe at one point in time when I was a kid, we actually managed to make it all the way to the end of that game and beat it. It's like, how in the hell did we do that? I tried playing it, and I was like, well, first room, and I fall and die.
We had a lot more patience.
That was back in the day when most games were either really simple or everything you did died. Like, yes. It would kill you.
Like, do you remember Deja Vu for the Nintendo?
Never played Deja Vu.
Holy crap.
I know Karnoff, which was an awesome game, had no... You couldn't save it.
Yeah.
So you would die, and you'd be like, I just got the most awesome stuff ever, and there's not a save function. I hate you, designers. Or you'd be like...
Yeah, that's a designer that hates you.
Yeah.
Eric and I have determined that most games have a level where the game designer just actively like spends time hating you. Anyone who's played the first Max Payne game knows what we're talking about.
Oh God, I love that game. But
the
yeah.
level where it's the straight, crazy coked out dream and the invisible path and you just run off the edge and die.
That level.
That's where the game turns into a platformer and you want to find the designer and kill him.
Yeah. You know how I played Brutal that one?
Or the werewolf fight.
That particular one?
The Reckoning. The vampire fight was nasty, but the werewolf fight in the first one?
See, I was annoyed. You know, I wanted to track down my brother and beat him when the vampires showed up with guns.
Yeah.
But my brother is just being a jerk.
So. Yeah.
I expect that.
Well, with the Max Payne one, I spent the whole time
Max Payne
staring
also
at the skipped floor.
That level. Totally skipped that
level. I took the longest time on that level because I was just like,
level.
Walk, 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 walk. 3 hours later.
I had to turn up the gamma correction all the way so you could see the edges of where the damn
but
blood
I love Max
trail
Payne.
Was.
Did you guys see that Max Payne 3 is coming out?
Yes.
As a video game?
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen the movie,
yeah,
so.
Don't see the movie.
But I would like to have another
video. If given
the
option of seeing the movie, stab yourself in the face.
Yeah, that'd be
Trust
better.
Me.
I have a movie here that I've been hearing about and been hearing good things about, so I'm going to watch it and see what we think. Drag Me to Hell, the new Sam Raimi movie.
Uh-huh.
I do want to see that.
I've heard it's really good. I saw the previews for it when it was coming out, and I went, that looks frickin' lame. And then I didn't hear anything about it. I didn't see what it was by.
He starts production on the next Spider-Man movie.
I thought it looked hokey, but not lame. I was like, yeah, I can do hokey.
But all the reviews I've been seeing for it, people have been giving it 5 stars on the story, which
That's
is
cool.
crazy.
Yeah, because the trailer makes it look like a remake of Thinner.
Yeah, and it's not. Crappy movie.
Yeah, I know.
But, no, apparently...
I saw the trailer, that's what I thought of, man.
Yeah, apparently Dragon Hill is, like, really freaking awesome. It's like classic.
Well, he went back to some of his old you know, low-budget filmmaking techniques.
With a high budget, yeah. Which apparently
and
rolls off
And I think it's funny, though, people talk about how it's like, oh, he's going back to horror. Well, it's like, well, the last time you went to horror technically was Evil Dead 2.
Yeah, because Army of
Darkness. He hasn't done horror since then.
Yeah, and I got...
Which was 20...
Years ago.
Years ago. 25 years ago.
Yeah. 83 is when it came out, so it's 26 years ago. I actually bought Evil Dead 2 on Blu-rays. It looks really nice. But I actually sat down and watched it without Ethan here, so I wasn't getting the nice commentary that he always gives, which always makes me laugh. I actually watched it by myself, and as I watched it, what I was thinking as I was watching it, when that movie came out...
Evil Dead 2?
Yeah, it was actually... fairly scary movie. The whole thing was a breakdown and a commentary on someone going absolutely nuts.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Through the whole movie, because you don't know until the people get there.
The first one's a bit more serious than the second one.
Yeah, but the thing is you don't know until the other people get there whether he's going completely insane or whether the stuff that's happening is really happening to him. You have no idea.
Huh.
It's not until they get there that it's confirmed. So the whole movie is
If I was a jackass demon, I would do exactly what happens on that movie. All of my creepy undead demons would be totally dicks.
The deer head laugh.
Yeah.
Or blood come flying out of the holes in the wall. The black gooey
totally.
Blood.
I would like to see, even though it's going to scare the crap out of me, The Fourth Kind.
That looks pretty cool.
Yeah, that looks creepy as hell.
It looks creepy beyond all reason.
Yeah, so it's getting close to Halloween, you know. Everyone needs to watch
really
Poltergeist.
Yes.
Yeah,
awesome. You should tell them about the Paranormal Activity movie you went and saw.
Did you like it? Paranormal Activity, and I loved it.
That's great.
It's like Blair Witch Project, but on a tripod and not dumb.
That's good.
Apparently it's too creepy.
You have to... Don't go expecting a horror movie, because that's not what it is. It's... People's conception of what a horror movie is nowadays is Saw 5000,
That's not a horror movie. That's a slasher flick.
There is a difference between being horrified and being terrified, okay? Mm-hmm. This movie is more terrifying. And unsettling is probably the best word
for
it.
Because they have absolutely
it's all from the point of view of the camera, and it's as if it's... The movie's presented as if it's footage it's the footage that they filmed. I don't want to give away the movie, obviously, but I really enjoyed it. It's very... It was, there's no blood, guts, gore, anything. It's not for kids. There is, you know, realistic, harsh language and whatnot. And it would give a kid nightmares. It was a really creepy movie. I really enjoyed it. But yeah, it's like Blair Witch put with a tripod.
Well, the fourth kind just is my type of creepy movie.
That does look pretty good.
If they do it right, mm-hmm. then I can be creeped out beyond all.
If anything, the trailer teaches you how to say Mila Jovovich.
Yeah, Mila Jovovich.
It teaches you how to say her name correctly.
Yes.
So kind of changing routes, I guess, going beyond movies. What have we been doing? I know gaming-wise we haven't had a lot of time, but have we been doing anything else? I know school, but like last time you told me you went kind of crazy with your gods.
Yes. I've been reading the Song of Ice and Fire books.
Great books.
Done with the first book, into the second book now.
Is that on
Clash of Kings? Yes, I'm listening to an audiobook.
I might have to borrow that from you.
They're really well done.
Because I was going to look for the second one. I've read the first one, which I love.
Yeah, the first book was awesome, and they just become more and more screwed.
Oh, so you got the chick and the dragons and the... Oh, my God!
Well, that's where it ends. That's the first book ends.
Yeah! Isn't that awesome?
Awesome, yes. I'm very much looking forward to the HBO TV series.
What's it called? Fire and Ice?
The Song of Fire and Ice series by George R.R. Martin. And the first book is A Game of Thrones.
Don't get attached to anybody.
They all die.
It's not that everybody dies.
It's really good. I actually like it better than...
I like
the first book I like better than the Wheel of Time book so far.
Well, I like most books more than I like the Wheel of Time
books. No, I like the Wheel of Time books.
I wouldn't quite go that far, but I do like how...
It's very political.
It's very political, and everybody... It's definitely mortal.
Yeah, and magic is creepy.
Well, it should be.
But it's good. I'm really enjoying the hell out of it.
I haven't had time to read a book in a while.
Well, I've been listening to an audiobook because of my commute to school all the damn time. So, mm-hmm. I mean,
you drive, what, an hour to school every time, don't you?
45 minutes to an hour, yeah, each way.
Yeah. It's like my commute to work.
But that's really good. I've been reading that, which sort of got me... thinking about my my D&D setting, and that and Keep on the Shadowfell, I decided just to plunk it down on my in my world, and sort of got inspired to do just to clean up my whole god mess from the last game and the from the last campaign. And
it's awesome. He's got a spreadsheet, a flowchart.
I made a flowchart. Yeah,
because
that's
you're
how much
slightly
of a dork I am, but that's awesome.
Well, because of my work at... Because of work and being trying to avoid computers, I've been doing planes.
Mm-hmm.
Planes of Existence.
You're doing them right now?
I have the full map. So far I have...
Do you want to scan those in so you have them?
At some point I will.
As well?
I have the anyway.
Let me know when you want to do that. I actually have my scanner finally hooked up.
Mm-hmm.
We'll scan
it. One thing is, I'm doing it just because it's kind of calming. And also it's something I can do with my eyes that doesn't
require focusing
on, yeah. So, but I'm trying to do it for my world, too. Because at some point, I'm going to get back to my gods, mm-hmm. and I'm going to get them all scanned in and then printed out. And then, yeah. So the creative bug has hit me.
Yeah, which is good. We like creative bugs.
It helps you think and get prepped for the games.
Oh, yeah.
Even if it's totally, nobody cares.
Yeah. Well, I sort of look at it as it's more for your benefit rather than your players.
Yeah, who gives a crap about the
because,
players?
Because, like, do my players care about the flowchart of the connections to my gods? No. But it's stuff that I want to know in my head.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's
definitely, exactly.
It's one of those things.
We're all insane, so we have to get it out on paper.
Exactly.
It's definitely one of those things that if
just
you
don't
actually
cut off your ear.
Yeah.
Please.
Try not to. My artistic ability
to your
is.
Because that would be weird.
It's definitely one of those things that you wouldn't put in a book if you made a book for yourself.
Since I would probably open the package, since I would probably get the mail, I'd be like, hey, I got a package of something. This is, oh God, it's my ear. Oh crap, it's my ear.
I was running on my hand.
Give me the glue.
The last yes, my.
The loss of blood.
Oh, yes. No, the creative bug hit me for that. Other than that, really, I've been avoiding doing Spanish homework. But
I've actually been writing, but I haven't been writing fantasy. I've been writing sci-fi.
Yeah, we haven't talked to, let's see, people have disappeared because of illnesses for a while. Our friend Chris, haven't talked to him
He's got walking pneumonia. I actually talked to him last week.
I talked to him last week and just said everybody has some sort of something.
Yeah.
Yep, nasty bug going around. I had it for a while.
So,
I've got a call back. I think I got it from Andre. You know how Andre was all coughing and wheezing on Saturday?
Uh-huh.
And I broke into a fever of 100 degrees Monday, and I still haven't got it down below 99.7.
Did you die on Tuesday?
Are you dead? Are you
are you walking
Are
dead?
You a zombie?
No, I'm not walking yet. Kind of
are
more
you
of crawling.
A zombie?
He's crawling dead. Oh. Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm not a zombie yet. I'm working
yet
on that.
Yet being the operative term.
Yeah, I'm working on that. That would be a step up from what I'm at right now. But I am controlling my coughing with Coldies, which works really well. And we have these cool little things. They taste god-awful horrible. I can't remember the name of them. I have to go get the package out of the closet. Out of the medicine cabinet. But damn, do they work good. It's like, you take one and it's like, I don't care whether I have a cold or not. I feel good.
So Nathan's becoming a drug addict.
Yes. I'm doped up on cold medicine. Because otherwise I'd be coughing so hard you guys wouldn't be able to hear anything other than...
My brother's Xbox is dying.
Oh, sad. Is he getting a red ring of death?
No, it's just dying.
I'm trying to decide...
Is he getting like the one red light?
No, it's just dying.
I'm trying
really
to
dirty.
Decide if I want to buy...
I know exactly what's wrong with it. It's just I can't...
The laser lens needs to be cleaned?
Laser lens is all dirty and I don't want to... crack it open and clean it.
Oh, good God, no. You don't want to crack what they go open.
Because I've never cracked open an Xbox 360 before.
If you hit it with a hammer hard enough, it'll crack open.
Well, if you're...
Smash!
I missed it. If you're interested in what the inside of an Xbox looks like, Xbox 360 looks like if you need to get in there, I just search online, Xbox 360 exposed. There's a website that actually breaks open all of those electronics and shows how everything goes together so you can get to all the different components.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about it.
Yeah.
You're going to let your brother deal with it?
Yeah.
I'm trying to decide if I want to...
Well, they're still getting cheap now.
Uh-huh. Well, he looked into it, and if it's obviously not Red Ring of Death, they'll probably charge him about $100 or $150 bucks to fix it when you could buy a new one for $200.
So, well, they'll actually charge you $150 plus $35 for shipping and handling to ship it back to you. So it's $185 where you can spend $200 and get a new one.
Yeah. See, I'm trying to decide if I want to invest in the thing that allows your DS to surf the net.
Well, the DS internet, DSi. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
You don't want the PSP Go?
No. I might buy the Lego.
They started
DS
selling
game.
It in Australia, and they sold 1,000 units.
But I have a DS, and
they only sold 1,000 units when they sold it.
The reason I want the DS.
A lot of people in Australia.
I'm trying to decide
1,000 units.
That's
like probably most of their gaming community.
They probably didn't pay for shipping with that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to decide because I found some gaming type things on the DS. But then also, I don't know. I was just looking at it. It's like the DS is so portable, and for the simple things that you could do on it, it'd be kind of neat.
It's $250 with like. What, 4 gigs of internal
for
storage?
For the DS?
No, it doesn't have a UMD storage drive.
No, it has 16 gigabytes of internal storage. You have to download everything
on
the PSP
about?
Go.
The PSP, no. The PSP used to have cartridges and whatnot. No longer. It's all wireless. You have to download programs for it.
Yeah, and if you delete the program by accident,
But I like my DS.
Yeah.
So do I.
And here's one of the
things. Because it's the greatest system.
If you forget your account login information, or if any of the games get deleted, you have to repurchase them to play them.
That's why I didn't buy a...
It's Sony.
I didn't buy one in the first place, and now I'm not going to buy a new one. And I'll stick with Nintendo's little DS because, well, it's awesome for a little handheld.
The new Nintendo supposed handheld that they're working on, it uses discs, like little itty bitty CD discs.
Okay. I probably won't buy one for like 3 or 4 or 5, 10 years until after.
My question is this. Okay.
That's how I buy the DS games.
Sony already showed that using a disc of any type in a portable device is a bad thing.
I like the cartridges. I can throw the cartridge against the wall and it's fine.
See, here's the thing that really boggles my mind. Why would Nintendo even think about going with a disc-based system when the fact is in a little thing about, you know, 1 inch by 2 inches, you can put 16 gigabytes of storage space. You can put as much space on a little itty-bitty cartridge as you can put on a DVD.
Right. I've dropped it before. Discs. I've stepped on them.
Yeah, I don't seem to care, really. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the cool thing is the new handheld is supposed to be like 128-bit.
Well, yeah.
So it's going to be like
I do have to say,
graphics.
The little the PS2 or whatever the hell it's called, the little PSP. Yeah, the graphics are better than the DS, but I just don't care.
Hey, yeah, there's that.
I don't want to watch movies on it because it's a tiny screen.
Because the movies are still $15 each.
I can play all the Lego
you can
games
do that
on
or
there.
Buy a DVD.
Right.
Why bother paying $15 for a single device if you can't outfit?
Or you know, you could just spend less than a PSP and buy a portable DVD player if you really wanted
if
to
you
watch
really
a movie portably in a portable fashion that badly.
Or
it would be twice the size.
Or I can just wait. Buy one of the phones I'm kind of looking at.
Oh, you're not looking at the iPhone, are you?
No, I'm not. But I can watch TV on
it. You can
it.
Look at the iPhone.
Yeah, I can stare at the iPhone.
Yeah, don't buy the iPhone. I'll have to slap you.
No, there's
silly.
A bunch of other ones. Like, a buddy of mine got a hold of a, what was it? It was some internet deal he found, but it was a, it's not a Sony.
Some of the Android phones out there are really freaking cool.
All I know is it's like an iPhone, but cheaper.
Sounds like
and
it uses
cooler.
Android. Cooler. Probably uses Android from Google.
And when I saw the dice rolling program on it, mm-hmm. I wanted to take it.
So
it only had two dice.
The only thing I would probably buy would be a iPod Touch at some point. But
actually, they're neat.
What's funny is actually,
if
you guys have ever heard of Ben Heck, he does like all this sorts of modding stuff.
I still do my iRiver, so.
He does all sorts of modding for consoles and stuff.
I know it's not.
They actually had. He does a podcast, and in his recent podcast, he actually had an iPod versus the Zune HD. He owns an iPod Touch, and he hates the thing.
I've seen him.
But you know, because it seems so cool. He says it sucks ass. He says I'd rather have the Zune HD now that I've had a chance to play with one.
I always tell myself I'm gonna buy one, but I don't. But I wish I could remember the name of this little phone. It was on the AT&T site. And it was like $50 after the rebate, and it was just nice.
I need to figure out what I need to buy on Blu-ray now.
Just borrow what we have.
There's that.
Yeah,
but you have to be
still
very careful
not
with that. Don't
a
just
Blu-ray.
Let buy. I just don't let people borrow our discs.
Well, you know me. I'll use
still
the
not
coasters.
Buying the Blu-ray.
We will replace them at $35 a pop.
Not gonna do it.
You might want to borrow a Watchman and see. What
not
it
until
like
my system catches on
cut.
Fire.
I don't have the.
It's possessed
yet,
by evil, and I have to beat it to death.
Well, that happens.
Not going to do it. Still running fine.
Let's see.
No
phones.
Issues.
I want to check current promotions.
It was a Sony Ericsson. It was something else.
No
well, there's
PS?
A new Samsung magnet.
No. I think it was a Samsung. All I know is it's sweet. And the only problem is I don't like signing contracts.
Yeah.
And you have to sign a data thing with it.
Yeah,
I have one of those for that thing, so
yeah.
I have unlimited internet usage. The nice thing is... With
I do
this,
like the unlimited internet
yeah.
usage.
The nice thing that with this is that, and if you get that new phone, it'll have the same thing. There's a USB wire for this. I plug it in here. I plug it into my notebook. It works as a GSMA wireless antenna, so I can use my phone to connect wirelessly to the internet anywhere where there's a signal for it.
See, that is cool. I do like that.
Yeah.
And
but
since I'm already paying for the data plan, I can actually buy one of the wireless
I looked
cards
at that phone, and I'm like, you know what?
My phone does that, too.
Because
yeah,
it has a GS.
Awesome.
It has
my
a GS
My phone
was
considerably
on
more expensive. But then, again, I didn't sign a contract, well, and
technically this
my phone's an unlocked phone.
So. Yeah, technically this phone would have been $200 if I had to pay for it, but I had $200 in credits and a $100 rebate, yeah. So I got the phone for free.
Yeah, this is much more than that.
Yeah. But, yeah, well, my phone is really neat.
I liked it because it also had...
We're getting out the measuring sticks later.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're measuring our E-peens. Oh, I think I found the phone that you're talking about. The Samsung Impression?
I think so. It's a touchscreen.
Yeah, touchscreen with an actual rollout keyboard.
It also has the shake. And, yeah, no. This one doesn't have a rollout keyboard. This is all touch.
It has an accelerometer in it, basically.
Right. Potentiometer.
It also time travels.
Yeah, mine doesn't have that.
Time traveling?
No, it has the time traveling. It doesn't have an accelerometer in it.
But then I thought about it. I could just wait.
I can check my phone. I could maybe scry on it.
I could wait until Garmin puts out a phone. Because I really want
the new iPhone, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't see any prices for it, though. I went to their site. I didn't see any prices. They have it.
Oh, was it the HTC Pure?
Maybe.
It's like $149 after mail-in rebate?
No, this one's $49.99 or $50 after the mail-in rebate.
Yeah, I'm not seeing that anywhere.
It was on there.
Well, next time on This Week in Tech... wait, wrong
show. Wait, we're talking about technology, aren't we?
BlackBerry Pearl, that's $50.
Well, so this show will be totally useless for all our gaming buddies.
Yes, but if you like random stuff and us talking about random stuff...
This is a show.
This is the show for you.
Yeah, we did talk about some gaming, though.
We did talk about gaming.
I did. Yes. I got mostly Vecna's Realm drawn up.
Sweet.
I did finish reading the Game Master's Guide for Earthdawn, for the new Earthdawn.
That's cool.
Yeah, it took me forever. It reads like a freaking stereo manual. But sweet. I'm very glad that they actually...
At least it's not like the Blue Planet game.
Yeah.
Great game.
Yeah. When they have actual air charts for how the currents go.
You know,
for the air.
Somebody did that right, though, that would be an awesome video game.
Yes, it would.
Because then you wouldn't have to read all the rules. You'd just be like,
sweet.
Hi, I'm on this awesome world that follows all these rules, and I can do this cool stuff.
Yeah, right. The setting for that game is awesome, but...
Oh, yeah, but the book reads like a, you know, biotech manual. Yeah.
So what would be the name of this episode? Just random encounters?
Shooting
the breeze.
Yeah. I do like the fact that they split the Earthbound books into the two separate books, because... All the stuff that's in the Game Master's book,
even though the spines are wrong,
upside down. Yeah,
upside down.
Are they?
Yes, yeah. They are.
That would drive me totally crazy, yeah. And I would have to burn the books.
Yeah, the books. You have to put the books on the shelf upside down. You know, it's like a satanic thing. You make the binding.
It's entirely that me being OCD. I'd have to. Yeah,
but that
you could just rip them out.
Aside from that,
you could do that.
Aside from that,
no, you don't understand. Is the cover is fine. Mm-hmm. That cover is fine.
It was the actual layout designer.
He's gonna have to show. Look at it. Then the yeah. You'll just look at the spine. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Front of the book.
Ew.
the only one.
The graphic layout designer put it on backwards or upside down.
I would probably have to attempt to knife that out.
not the only one that would be upset by that. See?
No, it's very disconcerting, because I looked at it and said, what the hell?
Like our whole problem with the weird size books. They just don't fit on
the shelf. What was it? What was the game system that had the weird book that we got?
Alpha Omega.
Which
is awesome.
Really cool game.
I think you still have it.
But why is it that the book has to be sideways?
It's widescreen.
No!
It's like the new Star Wars role-playing game book. It's the same way.
Yeah. It won't fit on my shelf, so I won't get it. Yeah. You know, that would be fine if it was called Cthulhu. Seriously!
Because it would make sense.
It would make sense. It'd be like, my Call of Cthulhu book is totally, well, crazy.
Crazy.
It's up, what?
Yeah.
Well, it's Call of Cthulhu, so yeah.
It would be like, I have to burn the book cover because it doesn't fit on
totally
the shelf.
Totally random. So I saw a Call of Cthulhu thing on the
totally
Sci-Fi
random
channel.
In this episode?
Yeah.
No.
Can you guess which Call of Cthulhu movie it was on the Sci-Fi?
Dagon.
No.
Dreams in the Witch House?
No.
The Call of Cthulhu action movie?
No.
Reanimator.
No. This is Call of Cthulhu.
Reanimator is just Call of Cthulhu.
Okay, I didn't know that. But no, it was the Dunwich.
The Dunwich Horror.
Yes.
The old one with...
No, not old.
This is a new one.
Oh, yes.
They did a new
one.
You know the guy from who was in Quantum Leap?
Dean Stockwell.
The guy that actually was the helper?
Uh-huh.
He was in it. He got sucked up by the big demon.
That's the old one.
Is it?
That's the old one.
It was bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, at one point, the giant creature who opens the gate or whatever,
uh-huh.
Like, its tentacles come down, but it has a human face, and it's like...
Ethan?
Or did they remake it with
Dean
him?
Dean Stockwell is in the original one in 1970, and he's in the Dunwich Horror 2009 with Griff first, Sarah Lee, right. Dean Stockwell.
It was the new one.
Wow.
Oh, my horrible. Freaking God. Like, it looks horrible.
I only saw the last
Don't watch that
minutes.
For Halloween.
The last 15 minutes.
Oh, my God. They have like, a trailer up for the new one.
If this was my first experience with Call of Cthulhu, I would laugh every time I saw Call of Cthulhu.
The Dunwich Horror trailer. Yeah.
We're all still pulling for Guillermo del Toro to do At the Mountains of Madness someday. So
yeah. That would be cool.
Yeah, this movie looks absolutely atrocious.
Horrifying.
Don't forget about...
And not in a horrifying way.
The movie that I told you about earlier, Wolfsbane.
Oh, yeah, I gotta look that up, too.
You should.
Wolfsbane.
It's bad.
It was a bear! Are you sure it was a bear?
There's Steven for those Halloween people, there's Steven Seagal's Against the Dark...
Fighting vampires with a samurai sword.
Oh, it's yeah. okay, you know, and I agree with the review I heard about it. You know what the movie needs? More Steven Seagal.
Really?
That's how bad it is. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally needs
Actually,
more Steven Seagal
not
in it.
That much?
Oh, he's in it for maybe 30 minutes, collectively. That's bad.
The only reason I bring up the Wolfsbane is because it's so... Somebody who either wrote that show or was... part of producing that show
was
played
high?
No, they had to have played The World of Darkness because there were so many comments in there that I'm just like, this is a freaking bad game of werewolf and vampire. I mean, a bad one.
See, now I'm interested in seeing it, but we know nothing
so
bad. As bad as Mansquito.
Yeah,
I haven't seen Mansquito yet.
I have
neither
seen
have I. I've seen bits and pieces.
My God. Yeah, no, it's oh.
God bless Sci-Fi Channel or the Syphilis Channel, whatever
you know,
I'm calling it now.
Mansquito works fairly cheap.
Yes, he does.
And it looks like that Wolfsbane movie came out March 15th of 2005.
Now, I gotta say, I did read a book this. Actually, here's another random encounter. I read Bloody Bones. It's in the middle of a random series of books. It's about a vampire hunter who also is a zombie reanimator. She basically, in this world, if there's a problem with like a... let's say your grandfather dies and he doesn't write a will. Well, you call the zombie reanimator. She'll reanimate him, ask him who gets all the stuff. Well, the thing is, vampires are made legal. Now, this is fine. This was a cool book. Then they ran into the crazy vampires. Vampires need to die. That was the bloodiest, creepiest,
you need to
weirdest
read,
thing.
Old book series called The Galen Sword Chronicles. I've only read the first two books because the first two books came out in like early 90s, late 80s, and the third book came out in like 2004. Or sometime along in there.
I need to read the, what's his name?
Dresden Files.
Yeah, I need to read the Dresden Files.
Well, the first two books.
Well, the thing about these vampires was, she pointed out, there are so-called good vampires, because the people that they were decent folk that just became vampires. Then there's apathetic vampires, because when they were living, they just were... They didn't care. Then there are psycho vampires who, guess what? When they were living, they were crazy. And just because you became a vampire doesn't mean you're not crazier.
Okay, apparently it's not available yet. It came out in 2005. It's not available on Netflix. I have no idea where I'm going to be able to find this Wolfsbane movie. But it's spelled B-A-Y-N-E.
Yeah, it's bad. Oh, but the vampires on it, they had a total vampire torture scene where they're, like, eating these people, and I'm sitting there going, huh, I like vampires, but you guys all need to be staked, or eaten by werewolves.
Staked. Yeah.
Maybe werewolves. Though the werewolves are eating people, too, so...
Well, that's what werewolves do, Jesus.
No, some werewolves should not eat people. They should just, I don't know, go to clubs.
Oh, werewolves don't eat people. People eat people.
Bears eat people.
Oh, wait.
Escape circus bears.
Escape Russian circus bears.
Yeah, escape Russian circus bears.
They're always rush.
Yes, Escape Russian Circus Bear.
Right, so what are we going to talk about next time we get together? Like a real...
I have no idea.
We should
it's
probably...
It's 2 weeks away. We need to figure it out between now and then.
Yes. I'll email the list again. So
This episode, just totally not edit. Just put a warning on it, because you got too much to do.
Just put a warning on it.
Just put a warning on it.
Say
it's not safe.
This
for,
is random.
Not safe for work. Not safe for kids.
Random episode.
Yeah, because we did let slip with a couple.
We are slightly lazy at this point, but we're all tired.
We're all tired. One of us is sick.
I know we always do quality work.
Jeremy, why is your eyeball twitching?
Since we always do quality work.
Now I know what his tell is for when he bluffs.
Yeah.
No, that's his tell when he's about to stab something.
Yeah.
My house, don't make me go to
anyway,
the
store. We probably should wrap this up. So,
because it's getting late.
But that's our random episode for the Gamers Haven podcast today. So
we appreciate you coming.
Appreciate you listening.
Please shop at Tabletop.
And if you don't shop at Tabletop,
shop at Drive Through RPG through our link on our website.
RPG Now.
RPG Now.
Same company, but go through our website.
Really, if you should.
We also have an Amazon store for those people who don't have a friendly local game store,
like Tabletop.
Yes, like Tabletop Game and Hobby here in Kansas City.
Which you really should just shop there.
Yes.
Just call him and order stuff. He'll send it to you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he will.
You'll have to pay shipping. But that's part of it.
Yep. He's awesome.
That's okay. You know we're worth it. And he's worth it.
Ding.
It's a puzzle piece.
It looks like Jumpman.
It does look like Jumpman, which is an awesome game. I love Jumpman.
That's an old Commodore 64 game.
Yes, it is. It had
ancient.
I think it had infinite levels. It creating its own
randomly
levels.
Creating levels.
But the thing was, the levels were all. Like,
thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Right.
Goodbye.
Enjoy.
Goodbye.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.
You've been listening to the Gamers Haven podcast. This has been a Thousand Monkeys production. You can find us on the web at www.canadiancrusaders.com. You can email the show at thousandmonkeysproductions@gmail.com. Visit our website to find our episode archives, our actual play, our main feed, as well as promos, links, and a gallery. You'll also find our RPG Now Pick of the Week, our Amazon Pick of the Week, and you can even go through some of our snippet review episodes. We are also shameless, and if you wish to donate some money to the wonderful Gen Con Fund, or just give money to the show in general, there is also a donate button on our site via PayPal. So visit our website at www.canadiancrusaders.com. The Gamers Haven is part of the Vorpal Network. The Gamers Haven podcast and Thousand Monkeys Productions and CantCon are copyright by Ethan Parker. Gamers Haven is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music for the show is provided by Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. Other music is used with permission under license. Just like Bruce Campbell.